WMR, Just Measures Radio, is on the air.
All systems go.
Has led you to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. Take the sky from me. Take me out, who's black? Tell them I ain't coming back. Turn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be. I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Well, good evening to you, to all my friends out there in the JMR chat room and those who are listening in podcasts in the future and those who are listening to the archives. It's now Saturday night, the 10th of May of 2014. And again, welcome. So, where do we go from here? Yes, quite a week. So, and let's see. Hopefully, everybody can hear me out there. I don't know if we're coming through clear or not. I have to assume we are. So, we'll go with that. Okay. Well, I know what I'm going to do. I just said I'm going to put one more little piece of music in here just because you might like this. Who are trying to listen to, oh, shall we say, the words of our elders. And no, I'm not fishing for compliments. I'm just saying, you know, all of us have to listen to the ancestral voices. Well, let's do this. I should probably go ahead and take care of the housekeeping here. And I'll go ahead and put this in the chat room, our link. So, let's see if I can do this while I'm making a mess. Yes, there we go. Our usual chat room spot, or our webpage site. So, if we all go ahead and go out there, that should bring us to my usual, I guess you could call it the Launchpad page or whatever. And tonight I'm going to be talking about, well, this will probably be one of the last ones of the sausage-making shows. Then I'll have to move on to something different, probably do gardening. But, yeah, this week I figured I'd go ahead and kind of go through, dry-cured sausages and fresh bratwurst, because it's getting to be that time of year where people are going to start wanting to cook outside, and Brötchen, which is a German hard roll or a bread roll. So if we go ahead and click on the link here for today, for the 10th of May, for dry sausages, that will bring us out to our new page. And again, my usual notes here, from the beginning, sausage meat was chosen based on what was available and abundant. This is, where either people, some of the early hunter-gatherers, they probably did do some sausage by, cutting the meat up in smaller pieces. And the early people who were even settled, they needed to have some way of possibly saving some of their meats for winter use. And sausage recipes were developed that took advantage of what people had. Pigs were common around, as they were in so many areas. People made pork sausage. If families lived on sheep, well, guess what went into their sausage? And some cultures had, dietary restrictions based on religious beliefs, of course. For example, I doubt you would find many traditional Muslim or Jewish pork sausage recipes. And, different places have different meats that they would eat. A lot of sheep, a lot of goats have ended up in sausage. they did the, multi-purpose critter. You could milk them for the milk to make the cheese or for drinking. And you could, harvest the wool or the hair from, goats or sheep, for weaving and for clothing and whatnot. Obviously, cows, you can't do too much of salvaging the hair from them because it's pretty short, what little there is. But still, we get a lot of meat and a lot of dairy products from them. Horses in the past have also been used. Of course, that probably upsets concrete by me talking about, people used to eat horses, but it's been done. I've had a horse, actually. It's not too bad. It's not the greatest, but it's not too bad. Same thing goes for buffalo and whatnot. Elk, deer. You can preserve those meats. And one of the easiest ways is making sausages. I also have a link in here, where I've mentioned here that the USDA does have a lot of good information about, preserving meats, sausages, whatever, either through curing or smoking. So that's kind of like, the front page here. Okay, so, like I said, I was going to go ahead here and just kind of cover some of the dry sausages. We'd covered, a lot of the fresh sausages that one could smoke and then freeze before. I did have about the quick cure summer sausages to where you could actually test them for your spice mixtures and the flavorings. Probably the third big category is dry sausages. And I did find a real pepperoni recipe. I know that last week I talked about one that was, it's kind of like halfway between pepperoni and summer sausage. Well, this is a true pepperoni, which would be a dried sausage. And if you look at the picture here, you can see it kind of looks a little, kind of crusty or whatever, but it does have the nice red or pinkish color to the meat inside. And this particular recipe, actually, It's a large one, and I'll go ahead and, would you call it, do a second line on these pages, just, you know, breaking it down to smaller quantities. But this is like for a 10-pound batch, which is it'd be a lot of pepperoni, I'll put it that way. So you use, you know, 7 pounds of pork. You know, pork. This one here, they call it for pork butt. You know, you cube it, and you either pre-freeze it for about 10 to 12 days if you got a freezer that gets down to zero or below. The reason you want to pre-freeze it like that is to make sure that if there's any possible chance of trichinosis, you know, for the larvae for it, if you freeze it for that long, it will kill them. So you definitely want to avoid that. Trichinosis is no fun. Okay, and then also you'd use like 3 pounds of lean beef. I myself, you know, a lot of times they call for, you know, like pork butt, or, you know, or pork ham, or whatever, you know, beef here. They said, you know, round or shank or chuck roast. Again, sausages can be made from just about any part of an animal. And actually, really, sausages are a way of using up all the, see, how would you call it, the scrap meat or the extra meats, you know, from when you're boning, you know, cattle out. So, okay, so this is like a 70-30 blend. You know, I've mentioned that before on a couple of other things, that, you know, a 70-30 blend for, you know, beef to pork for sausages. It just seems to give a really good flavor, and you have a good, I guess you could say a good balance of the fats as well. Of course, so with a pepperoni, you probably want to have a little less fat in there. You want to have fairly lean stuff, because otherwise, you know, if you have a pepperoni that's real fatty, you know, then it's going to bleed grease all over your pizza. So, okay, so the next few items here, these are, like I said, these first two are just, you know, the meats portion. These next ones are, how'd you call it? This is an old-style recipe. It doesn't use the modern cure number one, cure number two, prog number one, prog number two type of thing. This actually uses saltpeter in it. So we'll go ahead and go down through this. For the 10 pounds of meat, you'd need 5 tablespoons of salt. Again, you'd want to either use, if you can get it, either sea salt or canning salt. You could use iodized, but again, it's better just to use pure salt. Use it 1 tablespoon of sugar, 2 tablespoons cayenne pepper, 3 tablespoons sweet paprika, and I'll pause at this point. You know, there are some people out there who do have a sensitivity, shall we say, to cayenne pepper. Yeah, I myself, I'm one of the lucky ones where I have a nasty reaction to capsicum. I'll just leave it at that. But it is possible to still achieve a good spicy flavor. You know, in this case, you're using, you know, basically 5 tablespoons of pepper. You know, the cayenne, which would give you the heat, and then the paprika, which also adds a little more heat, but it adds more flavor. And if a person would want to or need to, you could always substitute, say, 2 tablespoons or maybe 3 tablespoons of either white or black ground pepper, you know, grinded fine. And you could even up the paprika slightly, you know, if you like it a bit spicier. And that'll also help with that nice red color that paprika has, you know, and pepperoni. Also, you want to have a tablespoon of crushed anise seed. And that, in case you're not familiar with it, that's the seed that has vaguely a licorice-type flavor. You quite often find it in Italian cooking, either in the pasta sauces or in the like the sausage that goes on an Italian sausage. Okay, so then also, here they call for 1 teaspoon of garlic, very finely minced. Again, if you like garlic, you can always up that. Or if you don't have fresh garlic, you can use, dry garlic. Of course, with the dry garlic, you might have to use a little bit more just to get the full flavor. And then these last three things are what allows you to create the dry sausage. Use a 1 cup of red wine, of a dry red wine, 1 teaspoon of saltpeter, and 1/2 teaspoon of ascorbic acid, which is basically vitamin C powder. Okay, so with this here, the teaspoon of saltpeter, in many cases these days, they soft pedal the use of saltpeter, which is, basically potassium nitrate. They soft pedal the use of that because, FDA and among other places, they feel that potassium nitrate gives you too much nitrites in your diet. And actually, if you do have too much of it, of course, it'd be a lot more than, 1 teaspoon for 10 pounds of 10 pounds of meat. That's comparatively, that's not that large a quantity. But say if you'd start getting up to say like 2 or 3 teaspoons, then you'd be running the risk of making yourself sick, from a nitrite poisoning. So you don't want to do that. But the saltpeter and the red wine work in conjunction. The red wine gives the pepperoni that you're making an initial, protection against any bacteria growing in it because of the alcohol. And the saltpeter, as that is moist in your pepperoni or your meat mixture, basically marinates internally, it'll take and go from being potassium nitrate to potassium nitrite with an I. And the nitrites are what basically helps preserve the meat and, acting as antibacterial, agent. If there's any, trichinosis worms in there that or eggs that a person has missed, this will get them, the nitrites. The potassium nitrate also helps with the drying. It works with the proteins in the meats and helps, draw the moisture out. And again, last thing there was 1/2 teaspoon of ascorbic acid. That also helps, acidify the meat. Again, that bacteria and other unwanted things don't fare real well in a highly acidic environment. So, that's kind of, like I said, quick explanation or a quick rundown of the ingredients. And again, the process for doing the dry sausage is very similar to some of the other ones that we've talked about before. And I'll just run through these quick, and then once we get through with this, I'll probably go ahead and check the time and check the chat room here and put a piece of music in and see if there's any questions. So, first step, you grind your beef and your pork separately through a coarse grinding disc. At that point, what you do is you mix all the rest of your ingredients here with your ground meats. And it's basically, again, like I said before, a case of, if you have some nitrile gloves around, you can put them on. Either that or really scrub the hands down good, make sure the nails are clean, just get in there and just work it. Mix it all up really well. Once you have it mixed, you cover it and you pop it in the refrigerator or someplace cool for 24 hours. This allows the nitrate to start converting to nitrite. And the alcohol from the wine and the ascorbic acid also permeate the meats and give a little bit more of an acidic environment. Plus, also, it allows the spices in here for the flavors to them so they can start melding with the meats. Okay, so the next day, you want to go ahead and start by rinse and prepare your casings. You can either use natural hog casings, like I have down here at the bottom of the ingredients list, or you can actually use the modern collagen casings, which again are edible. And so, but if you're using the natural casings, you'll want to rinse them out really well. You soak them in water, and if you put about a tablespoon of vinegar per cup of water when you're soaking the casings, that'll actually soften them somewhat, so they'll be less liable to tear, and also it'll allow them to stretch more, so it's a more of a transparent when you get through. So after your casings are soaked, you go ahead and get your meat out of the refrigerator where you've kept it cool. Yeah, because if you have it around 40 degrees, that's good because it stiffens it up nicely and makes it go through the stuffer easier. Okay, so you go ahead and stuff the sausage into the casings, and you twist it off into about 10-inch long links. And pepperoni is done slightly different than the other stuff. What you do is you'll do you do your 10-inch link, you give a gap in between, put a second knot on there, and then you just basically go to the next set. And so what you'll have is a single knot, two knots, single knot, two knots, knot and down. And what you want to do with this is where you have the two knots, it's at that place where you cut them. So you'll have two 10-inch links that are just tied in the middle with a single knot. What's done with this, or why this is done this way, is so you can actually hang these. And I was kind of getting ahead of myself here. I kind of explained it here, how to do them. But what you do is you have the pairs of 10-inch long links. You can take some cord at that point and basically use this loop to hang your pepperoni sausage up. And if you keep it pepperoni is a little bit different than other ones, but if you can keep it at about 65 degrees, probably most kitchens would work for it. If you have another room in the house where they're not going to get dusty or whatever, you just basically just hang them up and you leave them hang. And it takes probably 6 to 8 weeks. And during that time, that meat that's inside the casings, it's going to dry out. And as it dries, obviously the casing is going to shrink. But, after, 6 to 8 weeks, at that point you can take it down, wipe it down, and put it in a vacuum sealed bag or just put it in a plastic bag and freeze it. One thing that does help sometimes, by the way, when you're doing a dry sausage, you might notice a little bit of a mold bloom starting on them. If it's a white one, you don't need to worry about it, but if it would make you feel better, periodically you could actually take, say, a cloth that you've lightly dampened with vinegar, and just go ahead and swab the outside down of the pepperoni as it's drying. It's not going to harm anything, and the vinegar acts as a surface disinfectant, and it'll help keep any mold down. So, let's see here. What do we got? My lord, we got 8:25 already. And I'm chattering on here and, talking myself here into the middle of nowhere. So, tell you what, I'm going to go ahead here and just put a tune in here by Elon Michaels' Buffalo Dance. So, be back in about 4 minutes. Discussion here in the chat room about casings. Yes, the casings are the small intestines of either beef, pigs, or sheep. And actually, they do use parts of the large intestine for other things, but I definitely haven't gotten into that because I know Iowa cat, I know you'd go, ew. You know, we're going to have to start thinking of the alternatives for things. You know, if we're real lucky, things won't crash that far. And, pre-made casings or, you know, collagen casings will still be available for a long time. And hopefully I'm wrong. You know, I like doing this stuff just as, well, it's kind of a traditional thing. My grandparents used to make their own sausages and can their own chickens and, smoke their own hams and everything else. And it's kind of fun. And I know, Nugget here, he enjoys kind of coming out while I'm, doing stuff, you know, with, when I'm using a smoker. And I don't know if he grabbed some of the Ukrainian sausage I cooked up tonight, but, that's what I had again. More Ukrainian sausage for supper. Yum. I love the stuff. So, yes, Karen Creighton, you're right. Sheep intestines were used for condoms. So, like I said, I wasn't going to mention that, but Conk mentioned it here. So, yes, that's what it was. That's what they were used for. You know, that was one of the non-food uses I talked about. So, let's see here. Well, I suppose I should have probably done this before, and I didn't. So I'm going to just go ahead and just throw one quick commercial in here, and then we'll go ahead and continue on. I'll be talking. After this is over, I'll just come back in, and we're going to start talking about fresh bratwurst. So, back in a few.
There are a few things life has to offer that is a great above the rest. Good friends, good food, and a premium handmade cigar from F.K. Kristen Pipe Company. All Just Measures Radio listeners get 10% off all singles and 15% off all boxes. And when you order a box, you will also get one of Natty's Selects free. That's right, with every box purchase, you get one of my hand-picked favorites along with 15%. This is a deal that cannot be beat. You can call or email Stacy via the link at Just Measures Radio or JustMeasuresCS.com. F.K. Kristen, your premium cigar company. And yes, each one is rolled on the thighs of virgins south of the border.
Okay, well, I'm back, and just kind of scratch my head trying to think here, well, should I go ahead here and just continue on and try covering everything tonight, or trying to decide if, well, maybe I should split this into 2 weeks again, which, yeah, that would be kind of a 6 1/2 dozen the other. So, like I said, yeah, what we're going to go here next is there's a guy by the name of Bruce Idell. He does a cooking column, and he's done some world traveling and whatnot. And this was basically a copy that he made, or a recreation of a Munich style bratwurst. And these bratwurst, you know, generally, you know, when we get them, they'll be, you know, come from the store, either fresh links, if you're lucky enough to have a meat market, or it'll come in, you know, a package that's frozen. And bratwurst generally don't have any of the sausage cures in. It's just basically your meats, your spices, and then they get stuffed into the casings. So, this here is a picture of probably about 1.5 or 2 pounds of nice fresh bratwurst. And you'll note they've got just kind of a nice fresh pink color. And again, you know, most of the times here in the States, you'll either find pork brats or combination of beef and pork brats. Of course, I've seen ones too that use chicken, turkey, and other stuff, but the majority of them here are either pork or beef and pork. This particular recipe is, like I said, kind of, I shouldn't say peculiar to the Munich area, but it's, you know, kind of a common recipe. This particular recipe here uses 1.5 pounds of pork butt roast. Again, you don't have to use pork butt. You know, if you got a got fresh, uncured ham, you can use it. You know, if you have, you know, basically any of the pork meat can work. Of course, the flavor might vary, but you know, it's, you know, it's fairly common, pretty much the same throughout. And then this uses 1 pound of veal or veal shoulder. This is what gives the Munich style bratwurst some of its flavor, because veal does have its own, you know, special flavor, just like venison has a flavor, just like buffalo has a flavor. You know, veal also has a flavor. It's a lighter flavor, a little more delicate, but it's good. And then also uses 1.5 pound of pork fat, and obviously all this gets cut into 1-inch sized chunks. And the pork fat, you know, generally speaking, you find recipes just as pork fat. What you want to use is the hard back fat. It just works better for sausage making. And then you'll need a tablespoon of coarse salt, you know, like rock salt type thing, or, you know, basically rock salt. You know, you can get it in, there's a particular brand that we actually get around here, and I can't think of the name off the top of my head. But it's just basically, you know, large salt crystals. You know, it's not like, you know, pea size or anything, but, you know, it's large crystals. And it's stuff that you can use like in a salt grinder. You use also a teaspoon of sugar. Again, that's just to kind of sweeten your end product a little bit. 1 teaspoon of ground black pepper. You know, it can be either coarse or fine ground, you know. A teaspoon of ground mace. A teaspoon of ground caraway seed. 1/2 teaspoon of ground ginger. And 1/2 cup of milk. And again, down here at the bottom, you know, medium hog casings. That would be probably ones that, like for collagen cases, they measure out in different sizes. This would be like about this equivalent of a 35 millimeter casing. So, and again, like I said, you know, the only thing in there that's basically a preservative per se is the salt, and it's really not that much salt. So again, you want to freeze your pork, your veal, and the fat until they're, you know, slightly frozen, you know, until they get good and stiff. Once they've hardened up, go ahead and grind them using, an 1/8-inch plate. That's a fairly fine plate on a grinder. It's not the finest there are, but it's, you know, like the second size up. Once you have all your meats and the fat ground, you go ahead and add all your seasonings and the 1/2 cup of milk. Again, it's a case of you get in there, work it with your hands, you know, squish it all through, make sure that the spices are all mixed through. At that point, when you get it done, you know, the suggestion he had was, you know, just take a small patty about the size, you know, say a golf ball size piece of it. You know, make a patty out of it, fry it up, and see how it tastes to you. You know, because then at that point you can go ahead and adjust. You know, if it's not peppery enough for you, you can always add more pepper. Or if you think it needs a little more caraway or whatever, again, you can put it in and adjust it and adjust the flavors. Let's see here. At that point, go ahead and cover your bowl again. Or if you got just a big plastic bag, stuff it in a huge plastic bag, you know, and then you stick it in the refrigerator. You refrigerate it for a couple hours again. Again, that's to stiffen it up. You go ahead and prepare your hog casings or your collagen casings, you know, according to, you know, the directions. And again, with the regular hog casings, you can, you know, you rinse them out. You know, if you got fresh ones, you just basically have to rinse them, soak them in a little bit of vinegar water, like I'd mentioned for the pepperoni. Or if you get prepackaged casings, which it's possible to do, you know, like Fleet Farm has it. I don't think Menards does. Tractor Supply Company might have them. You can get the hog casings. They basically come in an airtight bag. The casings are in there with some granulated salt, basically, you know, to preserve them. What you do is you take out your casings that you need. Again, this would be, what, probably 3 to 4 feet of casing you need. Take it out of the package, you know, measure it off, rinse it off good on the outside, rinse through with water, and then you can take and, you know, put it in the vinegar water to soften them and to make them a little more transparent. And then you go ahead, just like we've always talked about before, you stuff your casings. Bratwurst are usually done in probably, oh, I'd say about a 6-inch length. And again, as you go, you know, tie it off to start with, you know, get 6 inches out, you squeeze it, twist it good, you know, several twists, and continue on. And until you got as many sausages as stuffed as you can handle at a time. And then, if you need to, you know, again, tie it off. And, you know, start a new one. And again, once you do these, you know, with the wet casings, what helps to, hold their shape a little better is, you know, when they're first fresh like this, they're going to be wet. Go ahead and leave them twisted, and you can, if you can hang them up, not a broomstick, but like dowels or a fine metal rod, you can hang them up, let them dry for, say, hour or so. That allowed that twist to basically seal itself a little bit better. Then you just package them up and freeze them, or if you want to cook and eat them fresh, they're ready to go. So, okay, well, we got 9:43 here, and, well, see, I'm still trying to make up my mind here, trying to decide if I should go ahead and just go through all through these tonight, or if I should just save the Landjägers here for next week. So, why don't I do this? I think I'm going to go ahead here and maybe, drop another piece of music in here. Something that's, how to put it? It's a little bit, it's what I'd said before last week. I'm going to start playing more of this music. It's a little bit more of a Native American music, so please enjoy, and then I think we'll come back, and I'll just go ahead and talk about some German bread making for making Brötchens. Thank you. Okay, I'm back. And yes, by the way, Punkin, thank you very much for that link for the pepperoni recipe. And like I just mentioned in the chat room, that recipe actually is a really... That one's a really good counterpoint that goes really well with the one I have up here in the chat, up in the web page, because, oh, how to put it, that particular one actually uses the tender quick preserving agent for sausages, and so that's a case where, again, the tender quick doesn't have as much sodium nitrates or potassium nitrates in it, so it's that's why you have to end up baking it for several hours. You need to get that internal temperature up above 160 degrees if you don't use saltpeter. And like I said, I would just had put that pepperoni recipe that I had, you know, in the on the web page in there. You know, it's basically showing the traditional form where they could, you know, literally, you know, make it and hang it dry. So, but again, there's also, you know, I should probably go ahead and give a word of caution here. With homemade sausages, always, you have to be careful. You know, you don't want to overdo the cure number one, cure number two, or the saltpeter use, because too much of it can be toxic to people. So, you know, I'll just leave it at that point. And probably what I could go ahead and do is I'll get the information here on another page link. I could actually go ahead and probably post it here in the, you know, opening comments section. You know, to where people would be able to click on the link and read it. And hopefully, Punkin, you don't want to object if I go ahead and also put the I guess you could say the quick pepperoni recipe in. Okay, so like I said, I'm going to go ahead here. I'm going to go ahead and skip the Landjager recipe for this week. And what I'll do is I'll go ahead and cover that one plus another Landjager recipe I also have. I can just go ahead and do that next week, and that way, again, we can compare and contrast the two different recipes because they are slightly different. So it's probably the better bet to do. And since we got, 9:51 in the evening here, I'll just go ahead and go down here and get this last section here. This is about Brötchen. And that's a German hard roll. You know, a lot of times people find, you know, hard rolls in the grocery store, and they're pretty stiff. I grant you that, but a Brötchen, actually, if you get a really good one, if you hit it on a table, it sounds like you're taking something hard and hitting it on the table. It's not going to squish in on itself like a hamburger bun. But the Brötchens, you know, they have an extremely hard crust on the outside, but when you cut them open, they're just light and fluffy inside. And they go quite good. There's another German recipe I make. It's called Frikadellen, which is kind of a German meatloaf type of thing. And again, it's beef and pork and lots of seasonings. And you actually fry them. You bread them up and then you fry them in oil. And have it on a Brötchen with some good stone ground mustard. And it's just like, oh, heaven on earth. So, how to make Brötchens. Again, you know, it's pretty much of a fairly traditional quantities for a bread or a roll, but there's, you know, again, it's got its tweaks. And for a yield of 12 Brötchen, and a Brötchen is probably, I'd say about 4 inches diameter, maybe a hair larger. You know, so it's a big roll. And they come out probably about 2.5 inches thick. So, you start out with, 2.5 to 3 cups of flour, 2.5 teaspoons of dry active yeast. That's a large quantity of yeast for these. 1 teaspoon of sugar, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of oil. And, you know, as much as I hate to say it, you know, you can use like good old-fashioned, quote-unquote, vegetable oil, corn oil. Yeah, you could even conceivably use lard. I haven't tried that one yet, but it should work. 1 cup of warm water and 1 egg white. Again, if you don't mind a little bit more of a golden color inside, you can always do that as well. But actually, the egg white is mainly used for, come to think of it, the egg white is used for brushing on the outside. So what you want to do with this, you preheat your oven to 450. You put 2.5 cups of flour into a large bowl. You form a well in the middle. And then you mix your yeast, your sugar, and 2 tablespoons of the water into another bowl. Basically just stir it up good. And then you pour this mixture into the well you've made in your flour. You don't mix it up at this point. You just put it in there. And you cover the bowl with a cloth. You set it into a warm place for about 15 minutes to rise. Well, it's really not truly rising at that point. What it's doing is the yeast is basically being rehydrated and fed by the sugar. And so it's basically proofing the yeast. At that point, you go ahead and add the rest of the water, your oil, and then, you know, they have here, you know, beat until mixed, and obviously you can add your salt in with the flour too. I usually just take either a big spoon or I'll take a fork, and I'll just stir it up really good. And, you know, once it's, you know, mixed up as far as you can with that, turn it out onto onto either a counter that you scattered a little flour on. A lot of times I'll use a towel. Again, that's something I learned from my grandmother. She had a towel that she always had flour on, that she just, you know, basically rubbed the flour into it. She put her dough on there and she'd work it on there. And rather than taking the towel and, you know, throwing it in the washer, she'd just fold it back up and stick it in the flour bin. And so next time she was going to make bread and eat it, she'd just take that out, you know, kind of shake off any of the excess there into the flour bin, spread the towel out, scatter a little more flour on, and then she'd just, you know, work her dough. And again, with this here, you knead your dough until it's, you know, smooth. And this, like I said at the beginning, you know, 2.5 to 3 cups of flour. If you need to add extra flour to this as you go, if it's too wet, this is when you add it. Once the dough is, you know, nice and smooth and elastic, you put it into a bowl. You cover, and you just, you know, the usual bread thing. You let it raise until it's doubled in size, and again, 30 to 40 minutes, you know, if it's got a good warm kitchen. You punch the dough down at that point. Once it's doubled, you can take and, you know, here it just says, you know, divide dough into 12 pieces. One thing I found works is I just kind of take it back out onto my floured surface, kind of pull it into a cylinder, then just kind of, you know, cut it off and get my sizes pretty good. And then, like I said, you know, if you have it like in a cylinder, you're halfway there to make your oval rolls. Just kind of get them made, you know, roughly ball shape. Put it onto a greased and floured cookie sheet. Again, you cover it, you let them raised again until they're about doubled. You take your egg white, spread it a little bit on the top. And you brush on the rolls, and then you bake them for 15 to 20 minutes. And, you know, you bake them until golden brown. Here's one other little hint for making brochen, which is, I've never seen it in any of the recipes, and I forgot to add it in here. you can either put like a small, say like a 9x9 cake pan, filled with, say about, you know, 3/4 of an inch of water in it, down in the bottom of the oven. And, you know, obviously before you put your bread in. And as the bread bakes, or the brochen bake, that water is heated and increases the steam in the air. And that steaming is what helps give the good crispy crust to a brochen. The other thing you can do is like I do with when I make sourdough bread, or even just ciabatta bread. I have a what do you call it, sprayer bottle. Yeah, I get those over at the dollar store. Take a spray bottle, fill it full of water, and then say for the first 10 minutes of baking time, I'll open the door up every couple or three minutes, spray the things down with the water, and close the door and continue on. That again gives a really good crispy crust. So, with that said, I'm just about on top of 10 o'clock here. So I think what I should probably do is, again, I should probably finish up here, and then I can go ahead and work on getting this cleaned up and into the archives. So at this point, I guess I should say and tell everybody thank you very much for joining me here in the Tinker Shop for the 10th of May of 2014. And hopefully you will join me next week as we continue on. So, like I said, just we'll have one more week of sausage making now. And don't forget, tomorrow is... Oh, I guess not. Take that back. I was going to say tomorrow you be sure to catch Godly Living with Bobby, but I don't think he's going to be on tomorrow. I haven't heard. But tomorrow night is... Edge of the Woods program, the Medic Shack, and I believe he's still going to be on at 9 o'clock, or you might check, he might be on an hour earlier tomorrow. So again, thank you very much for joining us. Take care, have a very good week, and God bless, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
2 years ago, I uttered the phrase too late as a warning that silver and gold prices would soon skyrocket, and thus they have this year. With our current financial predicament, you might want to consider someone who supplies silver American Eagles and other precious metals, a family dealer up in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Just Measures Coin Shop. Call Bobby at 812-305-7091 or click on the link at my homepage at johngaultfla.com.